Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. So, a little bit of a spoiler alert, you know, we record some of these ahead of time, and we're recording a few more episodes than normal today, so is it safe to say you're out of gas?
I'm getting a little cranky, yes. Since you decided to be so honest about me, I'm going to be honest about you. I proposed several conversations and you said, no, we're not going there, we are not going there. So you left me with no topic for our introduction to the podcast today.
I know, not cooperating very well.
Okay. So where are we today?
So today we're going to be looking at the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're about a month away from the Lenten season. So
why is Lent so long this year? I mean, why is Ordinary Time before Lent so long this year?
Well, it all has to do with setting of the date of Easter. The whole year is really set around.
We left it hanging last year, and this year I found out how this works. But there are lots of exceptions, and it only works until year 2400.
Okay.
It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox.
Okay.
With one exception. If it falls on the same day as the Jewish Passover, then we would move it 1 week also.
Okay.
Let me explain it. I'm fascinated by this. March 21st is the vernal equinox in the northern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So then the first full moon finishes in April 19. So the next Sunday is the 21st of April. That's Easter Sunday. So then you go backwards and then you find the beginning of Lent, which is a month from now, March 6.
I'm going to be honest, I'm nodding politely, but I'm not interested in those details.
I'm super interested. I find it amazing that the church calculates the calendar according to the moon.
It is interesting.
Nature, the moon, and then,
I'm interested that that happens. I've never been interested enough to figure it all out. So thank you. Well, so fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. So how about I read the gospel? Where is it from this week?
We are reading chapter 5, verses 1 to 11.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him.
It's the call of the disciples. So we left it in chapter 4, verse 30, last week. And then now we have skipped the part about Capernaum, the miracle of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And then we go back to this. We go forward to the shore of the lake where Jesus calls the first disciples.
So this call is so important to me because of the context, that all this context is said. So Luke could have very easily said, Jesus asked Peter and all these other individuals to come and follow him. Okay, next. Mm-hmm. But no, this is exact in particular what they were doing, that they were fishing. This is their line of work. This is where they are, and that there's a context. And the call of Jesus is always in a context. And I think that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. This happens anytime Jesus calls disciples or calls the apostles here. It's not a disembodied call. It's right where you are, right in the situation you're at, and the call to move forward. So I think it's, I was just thinking about this. It's interesting. Change fishing. So their line of work. So Jesus calls them to leave behind everything and come as fishermen. Change that to lawyer or banker or cashier or whatever it is, or it's whatever you do in your life, or perhaps something that's a really important part of your life, whether it be a particular sport or hobbies. Are you willing in the midst of that to be called by Jesus and to leave that behind or to integrate that somehow into the call, but in particular leave it behind? But substitute fishing. I think that's just so powerful with something from your life.
Here, what I see, I don't disagree, but what I see also is like a process. So they it says at the end that they left everything and they followed him, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't automatic. That's why Luke includes all this story about fishing, and fishing people will be part of what the evangelism will mean, and to go to other places and to call people to follow Jesus, as we believe that we are doing today. But it takes some struggle. It takes some experience of Jesus who is calling his disciples to something greater than what they are doing.
Well, and just to add a little support to your argument, in this passage can be connected to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. That's the call there. In fact, it isn't said that they leave everything behind. They leave their fishing boats behind there. So then as a little support, maybe it was a little bit of a process okay, we're leaving this now behind, and we can't do it all at once, but we're going to pretty quickly.
And the name Simon Peter and who are the other ones, Andrew, those are the disciples of Jewish origin. Later he will call Levi, and later he will call the Gentiles. So it's a whole process there also that I believe it's a growth in Jesus' own understanding on who he is invited to follow the gospel, which will come to a point that is everybody. One of the things I would probably reflect about is that Jesus calls the disciples where they are. Jesus goes to the shore of the lake and he interacts with them from the disciples' context, not the other way around. Sometimes we feel like people should come to us. I believe that people would come to church for decades, so because that was the thing to do. And now is when we've realized that it's us who need to go out and interact with society. Do you know what I mean? I'm not.
I think you're right about that, but I think it goes both ways.
Yeah.
I think that's true for one who is perhaps in a spiritual search. Go to the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't wait for it to become so much a part of your life that you can't avoid it. But go there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So we mentioned that this is about a month away from Lent, and then we're looking forward to Easter. I think that raises a really beautiful point about this gospel. You know, there's always been a little bit of a spiritual connection here between this call of the disciples and what? What are we going to hear at Easter? It's the post-resurrection appearance in the Easter season of Jesus in John's gospel. So it's not here in Luke's gospel, but in John's gospel, way at the end, Jesus is going to come back to these individuals who are fishing. They're going back to the beginning. That's one of those themes we've talked about for Easter.
Sure.
Back to the beginning. And here's that start of it. And I think it's just kind of beautiful to hold this moment for a little bit as we look forward to the Easter season sometime from now.
the last sentence, they left everything and they followed him. This leaving everything is very radical. And is this what we do today? Do we leave everything? The call of Jesus is very radical. And I don't know if we tame that call, and at least we give people some version of faith that is livable. You know what I mean? That it's possible to live in the midst of our jobs and families. Or it's a question that would be interesting to deal with.
And a reminder, the hardest thing for us to detach from today, they're probably not the material things as much as we may think that. It's the habits. It's our insistence on our particular opinion about something. Yeah. It's ways of interacting. I mean, there's things that are, at least for me, are much harder to detach from than material things.
For me, it's the temptation of the self in several ways. I agree with you that material possessions, maybe it's not the most difficult thing. But to give up the self, that I'm not the center of the universe, that my needs are not the center of the universe, that this person is not there to serve me or to make me happy, it's about others. It's very interesting. I think it's the temptation of the self that is what the most important radical thing we need to do is to move from that.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to think about this for the coming weekends. And if you're looking for Mass this coming weekend, archmill.org is the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's website, and you can search for Masses there. There's also a little spot, a little envelope button or icon. Click that, and you can sign up for emails from the Archdiocese, including this one, or you can receive it every Wednesday morning around 10 or 10:30. And then masstimes.org is a national website for Mass Times.
And as always, if you know of anybody who could benefit from listening to this podcast, let them know that we exist.
So let's come again next week. We'll be the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Is that right?
I'll see you there, yes.
I'll see you then.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.